Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Today is kind of a weird day for the church in our time because most importantly, today is the day that we celebrate the resurrection. But this year, you may or may not know, it also happens to fall on a secular holiday of sorts. You guys know what today is? It's April Fool's Day. The day for tricksters. The day for people who like practical jokes, which sounds a lot like me in college. It is a day that's marked by what I call merriment in deception. It's pretty good, isn't it? Of course, everyone knows that when you reveal your trick on April Fool's Day, you have to triumphantly proclaim, "April Fools!" Well, today there will be plenty of triumphant proclamations, but April Fools will not be one of them. At least not in the church. Because today we hear the gospel of Jesus' resurrection. And the young man in the tomb said to the women, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So today, the greatest truth for us is that Jesus is risen. He is no longer in the tomb. But as we hear this account of the very first Easter, it seems pretty unbelievable. In fact, if it's not unbelievable to the world now, it was probably even more unbelievable to those involved at that first one. Being raised to life doesn't really sound like a believable story. And in fact, before Jesus did it, it didn't really happen. I mean, we have a few instances where, you know, Jesus raises a widow's son, and we have the raising of Lazarus. But a resurrection like this, where somebody literally raises themselves back to life without any outward help from God, granted, Jesus is God, it had never happened. This is something that is totally new. And the truth is that resurrection is not how we know the world to work, right? If someone is dead, they're dead. The end. By all observable truths, that's what we see. And after look at the followers of Jesus here. After the miracles and the proclamations and the explicit prophecies from Jesus about his resurrection, how do they first respond? Disbelief. The women, it says, were seized with astonishment, right? And some translations use the words bewildered. The Greek actually uses the word ecstasy. No matter which way you put it, they didn't know how to process the information. They didn't know how to take it. Jesus has been raised back to the life. What do you mean? What do you mean he's been raised back to life? That doesn't happen. And then if we remember the account from John 20, which we didn't hear in our readings today, but Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb and she's talking to these angels that are sitting there. And then as she turns around, she's literally face to face with Jesus. And they're having this conversation. She thinks he's the gardener. And why wouldn't she? Resurrections don't happen. How could it be Jesus? Hours later, the disciples, on the night that Jesus is raised from the dead, where can we find them? They're behind closed doors. They're locked because they're afraid of the Jews. They're not living in the joy of the resurrection, that we have nothing to fear. We don't even have to fear death itself any longer because Jesus has been raised. But yet somehow the disciples, they didn't quite get the memo. You're not supposed to be afraid. The Jews can't do anything to you. Jesus has conquered all suffering, and he's conquered all death, and he's conquered all sin. He's even conquered the Jews. What are you guys doing? Get out of the upper room. Go try to find Jesus. After all, he said he'd be in Galilee. The resurrection is unbelievable, even to those to whom it was told initially. But the truth is that, as unbelievable as it is, this is not one big April Fool's Day joke. Eventually, all of Jesus' followers believe the truth, and mostly that's because Jesus actually stands in their midst You know, for Thomas, who we call the doubting Thomas, right? He has to actually place his fingers into Jesus' hands and into his side. Otherwise, he doesn't believe. But eventually, they all come around. They believe that Jesus, who once was dead, is alive again just as much as he was before. And so what happens when they start to believe this miracle? The message gets out. Christianity spreads. And people start to believe the unbelievable. In the church, we have a fancy word for it. Faith. Believing the unbelievable. We call that faith. We can't prove it, but yet I know you believe it. You know how I know? We've already confessed it once together, maybe twice together. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
But for all of you who believe, there are far more outside the walls of this church who don't. Some don't believe this. They think that it truly is an unbelievable story. Someone died and rose back to life? Yeah, right. Where are the cameras? Somebody needs to shout April Fools. This entire story teaches us the importance of faith, that we must simply read the words of God and believe them for what they are. That we must cling to this Jesus who entered into death by bleeding and dying on a cross and who conquers that death and suffering by rising from the dead 3 days later. It really is an unbelievable story, but it's a story that God has called you to believe. But that's a lot easier said than done. In order to believe the scriptures that testify to this Jesus, we have to confess first that our mind is trying to deceive us. That our mind is trying to lead us into false belief and into despair. Not only our mind, but also the devil in the world as well. Isn't that the state of everybody who doesn't believe in the resurrection? I mean, when they're faced with that last enemy death and they're reaching the end of their life, what do they have to cling to? Do they go, I know that on the last I will see God with my own eyes? That he will raise me back to life just as he's been raised from the dead? Or do they pat everybody on the back and say, well, it was nice to know you. It's all over now. The truth is that if you reach death without faith in this resurrected Jesus Christ, we've got nothing. No hope. No promise. Nothing. But that's exactly what the world wants. In fact, that's exactly what our sinful minds want. That's exactly what the devil wants. They fight against this truth of Jesus' atoning death. The death that he died for you. They fight against this truth that Jesus was raised back to life for your justification. Satan, the world, even our own mind, they want to bring doubt onto this resurrection. To treat it as if it's one of, you know, Aesop's fables or some fairy tale or some big April Fool's Day ruse. But it is so far from that. It is so much better than that. The resurrection is truth. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was pleasing and acceptable to God the Father. It's truth. Your sin has been paid for. Truth. There's no matter what you've done in your life, I don't care what it is, I don't care what sin you've committed, you are forgiven. This is the truth of the Reformation. It's been overcome, all of it, already done. Because Jesus' resurrection is the proclamation that you are forgiven, each and every one of you sitting here. Your sin was left in the tomb with Jesus, and he was raised without it. He died for it, he rose for it, you are forgiven. This resurrection, it is the proof that God really is who he said he is, that Jesus really is God's son. Because if he's not God's son, then the resurrection doesn't happen. It's proof that Jesus is worthy of all glory and praise and honor. It's proof that Jesus is your Savior and my Savior and the Savior of the whole world, just like he said. To be Christian, it means to believe the unbelievable. To cling to the teaching, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. To trust in it above all things. And even today, we've been given to trust in something else that Jesus left us even before he died. He left us his last will and testament. He tells us to take bread and eat it, that it is his body given for us. And he tells us to take wine and to drink it, that it truly is his blood that was shed for your forgiveness. And this too, our mind tries to deceive us. The world tries to deceive us. In fact, there are even Christian churches that try to deceive us away from this teaching, saying that, well, that's just a joke. Jesus meant represents. Jesus meant it's kind of sort of like body and blood. Jesus meant it just a symbol. But if Jesus has power to come back to life, then it means that he has power to be in your presence today. Bodily, just like he was in front of the disciples. Bodily, just like he was in front of Mary. Bodily, just like he was for Thomas to put his fingers into his hands and his side. Jesus is here today, or at least he will be. When the words of institution are spoken over simple bread and wine, Jesus promises you that he is here in his body, that he is here in his blood. Why? Because he says it. Unbelievable? Absolutely. But Christians are in the business of believing the unbelievable. My friends, today Jesus is not in a tomb. This Easter, he's on the altar. He's here in this church to serve you with his body and blood given and shed from the cross. The body that he promised that he would give for you. The body and blood that rose on the third day. Believe it. Because today in your believing, forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. And that's no joke. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.